is given to all of us. You are always welcome at the table of grace, which extends from the table of His Word, and an invitation for you and for me to serve the Lord. Our theme for the month of June, as was discussed in the previous weeks, was concerning stewardship. And as we move on to the month of July, it is going to be parables. The themes fit well because practically the application in many cases in the parables deals with stewardship, just like our text today. And I would like to invite all of you to turn back to our text in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 48, but we will look at verses 41 to 48. Actually, in this chapter, Luke chapter 12, you would see three parables. Beginning at verse 16, where you would see the parable of the rich fool. And then on verse 35, the parable and warnings concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And within that note, the last parable in our text is the parable of the servants. There are two kinds of servants. We will look at them as we move along. But generally speaking, the Lord's admonition in our text is for His disciples to remain faithful, which the same exhortation applies to you and to me as believers in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We are committing to you our time together, that we may learn from you, that you will help your servant to be able to speak clearly and effectively, that your people will be built up in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that your people will be challenged and would welcome your invitation that is coming from your very own word. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a look at verses 41 to 44, where we could find the faithful and wise servant. And it begins with a question coming from Apostle Peter, which plays a big role in our text. Because Apostle Peter was asking the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom he speaks, is it to the disciples or is it to everyone? It is kind of a tough passage to interpret. But praise God, because within the context, within the text in chapter 12, it tells us premises to answer this particular question. Please take a look at verse 1 on the same chapter, which reads, in the meantime, an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another. He began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And then moving on verse 13, you would see, then one of the crowd said to him, teacher, turn my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And then on verse 22, Jesus Christ speaks to his disciple when he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about life, what you will eat, what you will wear, nor about your body. And then moving on to verse 32, he says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now looking at these verses, reading between these verses, there were times when Jesus Christ was speaking to his disciples directly. And there are also times when he would address others within the crowds. And then when Apostle Peter asked him on verse 41, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't answer him directly. Instead, he gave another question, and then he gave another parable. which is to draw attention to all servants in general, where Jesus Christ stresses that everyone is responsible to his master. And that the more you get, the more is required to you. And this responsibility is given in the light of his second coming because he promises to come again. And the exhortation is that, which the cross-reference of our text is in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, he was saying that you is supposed to be watching, supposed to be waiting, and supposed to be working as you wait for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the parable uses a picture of a manager, a servant who is placed a charge of his master's household. He is to feed the flock accordingly, as it says. That is why this text is good for pastors. This is good for those who teaches. This is good for those who are part of the, or the leaders of the cell group, particularly. This is good for those who would be teaching the BBS. And this is also good for everyone. Because shepherding is not only for the leaders, for the teacher. The Bible tells us again and again that shepherding itself is biblical. For example, you and I are given the responsibility to shepherd ourselves in quiet time with God. Whether it is in the morning, whether it is in the afternoon, whether it's in the evening, that you and I should have devotional time with God. That God expects us to meet with Him not only in devotional, not only in prayer, but as well as in His Word. And this is shepherding yourself. But the bigger picture is when you have become someone who would be shepherding people. Or when you are mentoring someone, whether it is a life to life. And the command that was given to the servant is supposed to feed the flock at the proper time. You know, if you are, and there are a lot of people who are married here and have children, you want to, it's your desire all the time that your children are fed at the proper time. You wouldn't want your children to go hungry. Well, there are those parents who are irresponsible. Sometimes you see it on the news. But generally speaking, parents would wish not their children to go hungry. But in the context of spiritual agenda, you as someone who is in charge to feed the flock, you should feed them accordingly. You know, if you are someone who is in the service, if you are someone who is in the ministry of feeding the flock, it is not just a matter of the flock to survive, which is very important. It's beyond that. We should be taking the flock to a higher level, to a stage higher than they were. Because we know that there are times when servants and believers in Christ in general would settle for mediocrity. There are those who carries the philosophy of okay na yan. That is fine. That is okay. It is okay to be okay. But if you could take it to a different level, isn't that better? Thank God someone are listening. You know, a good servant serve faithfully not just for survival, but for the greater ministry. You know why some people do not like to go to a higher level? Because it is hard. It requires time. It requires labor. And there are those flocks, there are those believers in general that they are unwilling to take greater steps of faith. There are those who are self-righteous. There are those who are spiritually proud. Oh, I already know what you're going to say. I have studied the parables multiple times. I know that there are 46 parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have read the Bible from first page to the last page. Well, that is good. But isn't it good that you share that to others? And that you would encourage others to do likewise? There are many churches that there are those people in the church who are even, I don't know if it's also in our church, I'm not sure, I cannot read minds, I don't know where you are. But there are many people in the congregation that are more knowledgeable than everybody else. It's good. But use that knowledge of yours for the service of the Lord. Now, on the other hand, there are those who are lazy. They don't want to go enter into discipleship program. They are unwilling to take greater steps of faith. They are saying that this is bonus of Christianity. It's not bonus of Christianity. It is a normal walk of every Christian. To be engaged and to be learning and to going deeper and to be serving greater. Looking at our text, the servant's concentration is people. It's not possession. Which our text implies that a good and faithful servant should be careful in dealing with materialism and the worries of life, as it is expressed in our text. These things can hinder your spiritual growth and service in the Lord. And this sickness is not new. It was a problem then. It is a problem today, and it seems to be it's going to be a problem tomorrow. You know, the two main problems of the religious leader and supposedly the servants of the Lord at that particular time, looking at verse 41, is hypocrisy. Acting religiously superior. There is that superiority complex, the elite complex. And the other one is greed. They were self-seeking, they were self-propagating. But the Bible tells us many passages in the scripture that a wise and good servant is first and foremost humble. He must be an avenue of grace and mercy, understanding, accommodating. He is not a people pleaser, but people friendly. He is not greedy, but sacrificial, willing to sacrifice and to do hard work and things of others' interest. Apostle Paul says, think of others' interest first. We see that in his writing in the book of Philippians chapter 2. And then when he says the greatest example of that would be from verse 5 to verse 11, and that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we dealt with the faithful servant. Let's deal with the unfaithful one on verse 45 to 46. And we will be touching verse 47 and 48 as well. Let me read verse 45 and 46. But if the servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk. Oh, what a life that is. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. If you're going closer to our text beginning from verse 44 on to 48, you will see that there are at least four kinds of servants. On verse 44, there are those who knows what to do and obey God, and do what it says, and do what they know. We see that on verse 44 and the second part of verse 48. Now, there is also a servant or servants who that they know what they should do, but they do wrong things. We see that on verse 46. And there are those servants who know what he should do, but doesn't do anything at all. And there are those on verse 48, the first portion, they are servants who does not know what to do, but does the wrong thing. So if we look at the picture, we see that one in every four becomes the faithful one. Isn't that a sad reality? And this reality is striking because it is true then, it is also true today. They were saying that less than 40% of every congregation are engaged properly in the church. I don't know about the First Filipino Baptist Church, but even so, that is a sad reality that less than 40% are engaged as the Bible requires. And the question is that, which kind of a servant are you? Are you the one who knows what to do and do it? And do it well? And taking it to the next level? Or you are the someone who knows what to do and do whatever you like to do? Are you someone who knows what to do and don't do anything? Are you someone, I don't really know what to do, but I'm doing something, hoping that, you know, if you hit the target, you may hit the target. But the problem of this unfaithful servant is that he made a conclusion which he is not sure of. He was saying that, my master is not coming yet. So I would like to do whatever I would like to do. Eat, drink, and be merry. Or even get married. There's nothing wrong with marriage. There's nothing wrong with eating. There's nothing wrong with drinking your non-alcoholic beverages. It's in here. And that was the problem. And he became abusive. He pretends to be the master. He started thinking that he could beat the male servants and the female servants. He forgot to remember that he is a fellow servant. And there were times when the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you really want to be the best servant of all, you need to be the servant of all. This unfaithful one had lost his sense of accountability to his master. This unfaithful servant is not anticipating his attention that his master would be coming anytime soon. You know, there are also other extremes. There are Christians, as they profess to be, that they would spend most of their time, a big bulk of their time, just knowing and discussing the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is important. But if you're spending most of your time, and there are those who pretend to know that this time next year, and they have done it so many times, we see it on the TV and newspaper, that they were all proven to be wrong anyway. What a waste of time! Of course, we cannot neglect in understanding and knowing the importance or the doctrine of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is our blessed hope. Amen? Amen! But the wonderful thing is that with all of these people, that they have so many different interpretation of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ again. If there is something that is great, is that they all agree that Jesus Christ is coming again. I'm glad that is the case. And the First Filipino Baptist Church carried the position that the rapture of the church, that Jesus Christ would be coming, we meet him in the air. And then it will be followed by tribulation. And then after that is the visible coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in Matthew chapter 24 and 25 and other places in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians. But of course, this is another sermons. But there is an invitation for you. I'm glad, you know, today's gathering are given with multiple invitation. For those of you who would like, and it is an invitation for you, that in October and November, we'll be discussing the second coming. And you are all invited to attend at the adult Sunday school. But for the meantime, the exhortation that is given to us, or what we are facing today, that while we wait, we cannot afford not to be faithful. Otherwise, there are judgments. And we see that on the first part. The third point in our text is the judgment of the stewards. Please take a look at verse 46 again, will you? And it reads, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and on an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And the servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone whom much is given, much is required. And to whom much was been committed, or him, they will ask the more. Now we see here the elaboration of the Lord Jesus Christ's punishment. On verse 46, the servant who knows what he should do but does the wrong thing will be surprised with the master's return. And it says that you will be cut into two. Now this doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus Christ will come with a big saw and cut you in half. This must not be taken literally. I tried to use a good commentary, the Warren Wiersbe commentary, and this is how it was given in this particular commentary. Is that the servant will be separated from the faithful ones and will be joining the rest of the unfaithful ones who won't get any reward from the Lord. And there is text to that. May I invite you to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is biblical. This position is biblical. In chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, it says, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. It is going to be tested, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. The quality will be tested, whether you'll have a reward or not. But you yourself will be saved. That's what Apostle Paul says. And then for the unfaithful servant, because you did not do well, but you already know what to do, you'll be beaten, you'll be punished more in comparison to someone who does not know what to do, but does the wrong thing anyway, and you will be punished too. There is ignorance doesn't mean you're not guilty. You are guilty. The Bible tells us that God will always be fair. That he will not show any favoritism at all. We see that in the book of James. That his judgment is always fair and in accordance with his person and in accordance with his word. Since it says that much is given, much is required, please, it doesn't suggest that it is better to know less, so that there is less requirement for you. If you take that principle, you are in mistake. Because the Bible tells us again and again that you and I are given the responsibility to know the very will of God and to grow in the grace of God. We see that in the book of Romans, in the book of Peter, Colossians, and many other passages in the scripture. And it implies in our text that your duty, you becoming a Christian, you becoming a servant of the Lord, is a serious business. That God is serious about it. Please don't take it lightly. Those who are given the privilege and the responsibility, you are to do it diligently. Diligently. Please remember that. Diligently. This is a special command, especially to those who are leaders, like you and me, and to those who are given great opportunities, to those who are given great talents, to those who are good in learning the Bible, those who have the ability to teach. It is a gift from God. The more you give, the more you know, the more the ministry will take place. The reason why others don't want to, and there are those people who are good in singing. You have the ability to sing well. Sometimes the problem of not engaging in the choir is because you have to be here every week. And then if you do the cantata in April and in December, you're going to be coming here twice a week. And sometimes you'll be singing your lungs out for 5 hours until your oxygen is gone. No, seriously, I see that. They sing like, I wouldn't be able to sing like 5 hours. But they do it, and they do it with passion. And there are those of you who do same thing in a different ministry. It is required for us. In order for us to be effective, we have to take greater step of faith and do it well. God will hold you responsible. And for those of you who are thinking about choir, I hope I did not discourage you when I tell you it requires 4 hours sometimes. I hope it will challenge you, especially if you can sing well. Of course, we are not after the applaud of men. Don't worry. At the appointed time, God will reward you. We are not after the reward, but God will reward you anyway. The only thing is that we need to be faithful to God. That's what he says on verse 44. God will reward you richly. But this reward is exclusive only for those who are faithful. For those who are unfaithful, I'm sorry, the Bible doesn't say a reward. And for those who are willing to serve, then serve well. For those of you who grew up in the Philippines, you know what a palangana is like. It is like a big, it's like basin-like, which is flat. The bottom is flat, and on the side, there's curves. It is like, you know, the cup of the Pepsi-Cola, the one that you open this way. When you open it, it's like a small crown. Which crown would you like? The small crown or the big crown? Of course, the big crown. But from point a small crown to point big crown is hard labor. That's what it is. And many of us are not willing to go from this crown to this crown. They would say, oh, it's okay. I serve in moderation. I think we can do. The reason why I'm pointing at you is this is not new to all of us. But I think it is a new challenge for us to do better. We can do better, right? I'd like to invite you for the last time and open the last book of the Bible, and we'll end to this one. In chapter 22. chapter 22. At verse 12. Of course, Jesus Christ expects dedication and diligence from his servants, and he says, "Behold, I am coming soon. It could be today. It could be noon." And he says, "My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." I hope that this fresh challenge from his word serves us to be ready for his coming again. And there is the willingness for us to engage and to continue be engaged and to do it well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us the challenge from your word. And thank you for the privilege to be part of your kingdom agenda as your servants. I pray that you will help each and every one of us, that we may be able to serve together and serve diligently. Lord, help us to have a heart that is looking forward of your coming. Help us not to think like that of the unfaithful servant, that you are not coming yet. Help us to be ready. Help us to be willing. Help us to be watching, waiting, and working. In Jesus' name.